You saw somebody with an assault rifle? Oh, I'm coming for you. You're such a fucking noob. Dude, you're gonna you're gonna get fucking shit housed. You are about to get fucking rocked.
That's fabulous.
You should not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. I'm ashamed for this place.
Oh, what a fantastic a cappella rendition of one of the greatest video game themes of all time. Haas, how you doing?
Your falsetto tones really set that off.
I appreciate that. I was practicing before we did this. But,
you're a regular Tony Soprano over there!
Like from the TV show. Oh, man. But, yeah.
He wasn't a singer.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't at all. He was a mobster that was killed maybe in the final episode?
He wasn't killed.
I think he was. I think the writer said he was. No. I believe the writer said he was killed.
No, they were planning on making a movie after that.
It'll be about his kid, Tony Jr. I don't know. It's time for the Video Destruct Podcast! And we're talking Halo today. Halo 1, to be specific, correct?
Yes.
Talking the first rendition of that that thing. A lot of history behind that one. A lot of turmoil. If you the heavy breathing you hear is not us in anticipation for this game, it's Haas's dog who is losing.
Yep,
this is the worst podcast. Willow, you just make this thing all the better, don't you? We need a table eventually, and then
I don't know if it'll help.
I don't know. It
she
might.
She usually finds a way to be annoying anyway.
It's true. She'd probably jump up on the table. But anyway, yes, we're talking Halo. Halo 1, specifically. A lot of turmoil and trials and tribulations with that title before it came out to be one of the biggest things pretty much of all time.
Some would say potentially troubled release that somehow came together and became one of the most important video games for a platform since Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely for a platform. Yeah, definitely. That there would be no Xbox without Halo.
I mean, you know, the argument could be made for Sonic, but I tend to consider, like, super important games, I guess I need to qualify that a little bit, launch games.
Right, yeah.
Sonic was not a launch
game. Sonic was not a launch game. It was important to the Genesis, most definitely, but... Yeah, I mean it's right up there with it, definitely for as a title for a console. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no question.
Right? Yeah, it's you know like it took you know the PlayStation 2 until the same holiday as the original Xbox came out to get its Metal Gear Solid 2, its Final Fantasy 10, its Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah,
You know that 2001 holiday. It's easy to look back on that and just go like, ah, whatever. But there was a lot of really good, great, and important stuff that came out. I mean, that's when Pikmin came out. You know,
I think that would be a pretty decent. I know we're gonna do a War for 94. It'd be kind of a good idea to break down the year of video games.
But yeah, we did one podcast where we went pretty extensively into 2007.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was kind of off the cuff. I think.
Yeah, I'd like to do formal episodes where we do 97. I could make an argument for doing 98.
Right. Okay.
94.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. War for 94 would make sense. Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of certain ones. 2000, I think. 2001, you said.
2001, 2004. Yeah.
Just big industry years, I would say, I think would be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, since 2007, I don't think we've had a truly pivotal one. I had really high hopes for last year.
Yeah.
If, you know, if Batman and Witcher and, you know, quite a few other games didn't get pushed into this year. But that's kind of the world that we live in now, like, with such a high-stakes industry.
It's true.
And, you know, very, very expensive development, very, very long development. You kind of end up with a lot of games that, you know, by June, or granted, earlier this year than June, you're usually getting notifications of, yeah, that game that was coming in November, that's more like March.
Yeah, just sit on that for a little bit. Just, don't know where.
Yeah, we need to let that marinate a little more. That sauce was not coming together. Speaking of sauce not coming together.
Oh, okay.
Holy fuck, that Street Fighter V beta is actively on fire.
Is it? Is it like
holy shit,
garbage?
They pulled it off!
Did they? I didn't even hear about
they
this.
They pulled it down like 3 times, and now they've just shut the servers off.
Holy shit, are you serious?
Yeah, and they've,
oh, that's hilarious.
They've done all kinds of, like, fucking public apologies. I spent about an hour and a half on Saturday clicking the X button,
and it didn't
and it
go
just saying no.
No, that X button's not gonna work.
Yeah.
I saw Xavier Woods play it on a special guest thing or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure that was on their servers before it went live and was sponsored by them.
Yeah, probably.
Because when any human being who's not a fucking famous professional wrestler with a multi-million subscriber YouTube page tries to play it, I get fucking nothing.
We just gotta get up to that point. You know, you're losing weight. You get the wrestling crowd eventually, and then
I'm just trying to get myself over.
We'll get in those betas, you know.
Rip Rogers told me that I needed a 14-inch dick.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah.
Or to win the Powerball or be WWE champion,
and that's the.
WWE champion seems the most likely because I'm pretty sure the dick passed me by.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think that ship has fucking sailed.
Yeah, there's surgical ways you can get that bigger, but I don't know about 14 inches. That's kind of.
It's kind of making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah,
over here.
Right, yeah, I don't know. That's tough. I don't think they were able to pull that one off. Anyway.
Let's stop talking about my dick.
Let's stop talking about your dick and start talking about the news, shall we?
Yeah, which, speaking of
the
dick.
I guess the beta was, that was one. That's
that was news.
That's news
that's
for sure.
A fucking real dick.
They dicked around with that one. So, Dragon Quest XI revealed for PS4 and Nintendo DS, 3DS. Which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I guess we'll see a lot of that at Tokyo Game Show this year.
Yeah.
It's a Dragon Quest game. Guess what? They're going to fucking talk about it at Tokyo Game Show.
Yep, they're going to talk about that, because the Japanese freaking love that series.
Yeah, it's interesting. Last generation, when they announced, kind of in concert, Dragon Quest IX and Dragon Quest X, mm-hmm. That was DS and Wii, and now with the Wii U not grabbing a foothold needed for it to get a tentpole release like that, Square Enix has decided to go a really unconventional route and announce it for the 3DS and the PS4 and not making a Vita port, which, who's shocked?
Yeah, like, right, yeah.
At this
no,
point,
no Vita port for that.
You might as well bury the Vita in your yard next to your goldfish. Fucker's dead.
Because it's dead.
If it wasn't for our Persona 4 video series, nobody on this site at all would be talking about the Vita.
Nope, not at all. It's pretty much dead, I would say. I don't really play Dragon Quests that much. It's kind of a storied history with my brother and everything. We played the first one, Dragon Warrior, here in the States. And he played it all the way up to 3, and I think that's the last one we really got here.
I think we only got, we got 3, and then we got 7 for the PS1.
That's right, with the PS1, but then we were long out of it.
And then that was a fairly limited release. It's not a game that's, you know, commands like some huge price tag.
Yeah, no.
Dragon Quest VIII for the PS2 was the next reemergence of that series in the U.S. Had a very spectacular associated art style.
Yes.
Looked very, very cool. That was one of the first fruits of labor that we got after the Square and Enix merger.
Mm-hmm.
That was Square taking their fucking money and throwing it behind an Enix property in a significant way.
There you go.
And we got, and that gem, that's actually the only Dragon Quest game I've ever completed, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay, yeah, that seems to be the one that a lot of Dragon Quest fans, there's a few fans that I know that really love that game. Like, that one's like, they say it's just pretty much like the tightest package you can get with it. It's
You know, I've been talking about, like, fucking RPGs a lot lately, because we've been playing Persona 4, and if we ever get through Persona 4, which I with all due respect to everybody listening, I have my doubts.
I have my doubts as well. Yes, I do too.
If we ever get through Persona 4, 7 years from now, I would really, really like to play through Rogue Galaxy.
Right.
It's a game for the PS2 that I always wanted to play and never did.
Yeah.
And I just remember at the time that game really blowing people away and winning a lot of Game of Year awards in 2004.
Right. Well, the good thing is we don't have to stick with Persona 4 until we beat it.
We do.
It's a lag. We can switch up and go to the next one. That's totally fine.
No.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Look, the lag can be it can shift. Okay, there's no big.
We could have multiple lags going on.
That's
at
fine.
The same
that's
time.
What I'm saying.
But I'm not stopping Persona. If it's me alone in this living room, I am finishing that game.
Well, that's fair. I just meant we can trail off into others. That's fine. We can have two.
I will get a new friend
who likes Persona 4.
I will teach them to love it.
We haven't gotten to the chair guy yet, so I'm waiting until we get to him. Then
once we unlock Kanji Tatsumi, yes. I think it's going to change.
I think it's a fine game. I have no problem with the game right now, but yeah.
You haven't seen.
We've fought.
Shit.
We have fought one enemy. We've done one tutorial, fought one enemy, and one boss. And we've been playing it for 4 fucking hours. So,
well, it's a slow burn.
It is a slow burn, yes.
Okay.
I get it.
It's introducing us to Chie Satanaka.
I love Chie.
And how she's the greatest person that the world has ever known.
I will agree. I do love Chie. But anyway.
And Yukiko Amagi, come on, that girl.
Yukiko's fine.
She just needs someone to support her in life.
Yeah, she's got the red. She's more timid. I like her. Yeah,
she got a fan and she can cast heals.
But it also has Yosuke.
Fucking Yosuke.
God damn Yosuke.
First opportunity, ditching that.
Ditching
son of a
Yosuke,
bitch.
I agree.
Get out of here.
I'm 100% on board. Let's high five on Mike for that. Yeah, fuck Yosuke.
Fuck Yosuke.
Anyway, moving on.
Lightning casting ass.
Moving on.
No, he casts wind. It's Kanji that casts lightning. It's fucking wind.
Okay.
Fuck wind.
Wind. Wind. He's a frog person. Whatever.
Yeah. Fuck wind.
I don't get him at all. Anyway, on to the next Square Enix bit. There will be Final Fantasy XV news coming next week. That is the news for this week, is that there's Final Fantasy news coming next week.
You know what gets me sexually aroused?
What's that? Four men in a... Four black... Okay. Four chest-exposed men in a car going on a road trip fighting
Do you
monsters?
Know what else gets me sexually aroused?
What is that? What is that?
Other than shirtless men in a convertible.
I mean, you know. It's like, who doesn't? Go on.
A press release to announce a press release.
It's pretty... Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like a meal?
It is.
That it's It, oh, you can just like, eat it for days.
What are the French call the one bite, portions of a food? I read I forget what they
Ask
say.
Ask me anything about French.
Well, whatever. I forget what they call it, but my brother knows this because he's a foodie.
It's,
anyway.
It's a drink that sips like a meal. It fucking, I can chug it all day.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was funny that, like, the reason, I guess, is because, like, they... People were wondering if they're going to talk about it at GamesCon, and yes, they will, apparently, because it's kind of lining up with that.
There's quite a few things that are going to be at GamesCon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude, like Quantum Break, the new game from the Alan Wake, folks,
right,
is going to be there.
They plugged that on the frickin' Xbox One announcement, didn't they? That was forever ago.
They actually released a trailer for it, like, 4 months ago and said... Yeah. We're European, y'all. We're talking about it at fucking Gamescom. And, you know...
We're not like, flying out to your E3.
Well, and I feel like had that thing showed up at E3...
Yeah.
I feel like it could have got overshadowed.
Yeah.
I would also think they'll show Crackdown.
Okay.
Because they didn't show that at E3.
They didn't show Crackdown
It closed the show at E3 last year.
Yeah.
And I think I think Crackdown is a very specific game.
Yes.
I think if you close your Gamescom press conference with that this year, and have it just be like, here's 15 minutes of 8 guys fucking jumping around the city and blowing shit the fuck up,
right?
I think people will talk about it for weeks,
yeah.
As opposed to at E3 where they would have been like, that was cool, but like, did you see Just Cause 3? Did you see fucking Star Wars?
It's true. It's
like,
true. Yeah.
It's kind of the thing where like after the press conferences, everything just becomes white noise at E3. Especially right now with these consoles really ramping up and big AAA finally starting to grab ground this generation, you know, with dedicated releases for these new consoles, not being constrained by, you know, producing an old gen console version.
Right.
You know, one thing I thought about the other day that really, really kind of blew my mind?
What's that?
You know they're still making a 360 and PS3 version of fucking Metal Gear Solid 5?
Really?
Yeah.
They're backwards compatible for that?
Yeah, they're releasing four versions.
Jeez.
It's like a Two Live Crew album. Two versions.
That's pretty weird.
Remember when they used to release two versions?
I do remember that, yes.
That's fucking dope.
If you say so.
Man, wait, you trying to say you didn't listen to the Two Live Crew?
I listened to Two Live Crew. I mean... I never bought a Two Live Crew album.
It's like Shakespeare?
Oh, is it?
I mean, who could ever forget that hot banger, Pop That Pussy?
Pop That Pussy.
Where he says, I like the way you lick that champagne glass. It makes me want to stick my dick in your ass.
Truly Shakespearean lyricism right there. So, yeah.
It's like the fucking Montagues and Capulets. That's a Romeo and Juliet reference.
It is. It is definitely a Romeo and Juliet preference. You know, Willow, I feel like you're too clingy, and we're trying to do a show here, and I don't think that this is appropriate, honestly.
Well, you know what else is pretty clingy?
What's that?
I got fucking transitions like a motherfucker over here today.
You got pretty clingy. Yeah, you got some good transitions.
Tomb Raider, the Rise of the Tomb Raider for the Xbox One, you know, was announced as an exclusive earlier on this year. Really pissed a lot of people off, blah, blah, blah. And they've been saying since then that, like, we're not saying it'll never come anywhere else.
Right.
Well, they finally came out on record and disclosed what that is. I think...
Yeah.
And it's weird how, like, Microsoft has kind of been building bridges towards this, because I think they want to get out ahead of bad press.
Sure.
And announced officially that in the spring it will be coming to PC platforms, Windows 10, and I for some reason feel like they said Linux. Maybe I'm wrong. No, Steam and Windows 10 PCs.
Okay.
Which makes me believe that they'll be selling it through the Windows 10 store.
Right.
Which is taken over for their Games for Windows service.
Sure.
So, you know, you got that coming in the spring, and then they said holiday 2016 is when it will be available on the PlayStation.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of really interesting messaging coming out of Microsoft right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, they're, you know, like how everybody's saying, like, this will be the last generation of consoles, this is going to be the death of consoles and everything. And, you know, Phil Spencer was doing an interview this week where he happened to mention, he's like, I'll tell you right now, look at how many Xbox Ones and PS4s have sold right now.
Yeah.
We are fucking killing it right now. We both are. You know, yeah. It's a weird unified front of, fuck the PC! Fuck tablets!
Right.
Remember, like, fucking 3 years ago, and everybody was like, tablets are the future.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Remember when everybody made their fucking dumb controller that attached to a fucking tablet?
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
everybody fucking did that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that
at all. I gave one away on this very fucking podcast.
I don't remember that at all.
I gave one to Gus.
I didn't know that. You want
this? On this podcast, like 1 year ago.
Don't remember it. That's how little that impact was on me, the tablet controller craze.
Yeah, you basically
2014.
You put your phone or tablet in this thing, and it Bluetooths to your to your tablet, and
okay.
You use that as an interface. So, you know, say you know, they put games like Sonic the Hedgehog and shit like that, where they have like the D pads on screen.
Right,
you would actually be able to use the D pad or the thumbstick that's on that device.
Hmm.
And yeah, the problem is you don't want to fucking carry it around. I don't know, I think he enjoyed it. Whatever.
Gus enjoying that?
I was just glad to get it out of my house.
I just want it out of here.
I don't give a fuck what Gus thought about it.
I don't care. Just get it out. Windows 10 release today, correct?
Yeah, Windows 10 is out.
Yes, it's
out. Do you have Windows 7?
I do.
Do you have Windows 8.1?
I do not have.
Do you know anybody who does?
No. Well, I think...
It's like fucking Oprah is giving away shit. You get Windows 10, and you get Windows 10, and you get Windows 10. Everybody gets Windows 10.
Is it really stupid, like Windows 8 and 9, that makes your thing look like a tablet, though? Because I don't think I want
that. No, almost all that Metro stuff's gone. Okay, they actually went back to a straight Yeah, if you have like a laptop that has touch screen and stuff, you can still get to the Metro style interface.
Okay, cool.
But that is not the default interface anymore. Start buttons.
Yeah, right. Hey,
they're back.
How about that?
It's
start button.
It's 1995 all over again. Start button.
No more option or menu button.
The future is 20 years ago. Is what I'm trying to say.
So I feel like I'm picturing a guy in a big meeting room somewhere in like the console, you know, wars and everything. He's like, all right, so I have this idea for a button, and it says start on it.
No, it just has the Windows logo.
It just has the Windows logo. Well, there you go.
Branding.
All right, yeah.
All right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's not the start button anymore.
It's not the start button anymore.
It's the Windows button.
Well, they did that.
They started that with Vista.
Yeah, Vista did that, yeah.
The branding.
So, yeah, well, how about that? But yeah, well, see, that always bugged me back in the day when they, you know, because like I hearken back to, you know, Windows, before Vista, and
XP?
XP, yes, that's it. XP had the start button, had the little start button and everything, and that was where you found your things. And then the next one, was it Windows?
Vista was after XP.
Vista was after XP?
And then 7 was after Vista.
It must have been 7. No, was it Vista? Vista didn't have one, did it? It didn't have the start button or the Windows button?
No, it had the Windows button.
Okay, well, there was one that didn't. I remember one that just...
8.
8 excluded it. But before then...
No.
Wasn't there one before Vista?
No.
In between Vista?
No.
Why am I not
thinking? I'll give you the chronology.
Okay.
The important chronology. 3.1. Okay. That's where Windows really begins for everybody.
Sure.
95. 98. 98 Special Edition, which is basically Service Pack 2.
Yeah, 98's the first one I had.
Then there's ME or 2000 if you got the business version because it was way better.
Millennium, yeah.
And then you got, then there was XP, then there was Vista, then there was 7, then there was 8, then there was 8.1, which actually brought a lot of the start button shit and everything back in.
Right.
Like you want.
Right.
And now there's 10.
Okay. There you go.
That's Windows.
It must have been Vista that I hated.
Do you remember back when Vista was still a thing?
Yeah, I mean...
Do you remember near the end of Vista?
I do.
When they had those fucking Mojave experiment commercials?
Yes, I do remember the Mojave commercials.
Oh my god, I fucking love... It was like some kind of fucking prank video where they're like, what do you think about the new Windows Mojave? And people are like, oh, this is so much better than Vista. Mm-hmm. I heard really bad things about Vista. And they come out and they were like, look, this woman had a dick the whole time, you guys! It was Vista, you fucker!
Oh my god, I do remember those. They basically came out like dominoes. Like, yeah, we were real shit for a while there, but now we're okay.
We're gonna
come and get our shit.
We're gonna have to put a warning label on this podcast.
Yeah, no,
this one. I feel like this is more offensive.
Dude, this whole podcast is a warning label. Like,
our logo should be blue now because we are the bluest website.
Bluest website there is.
I'm not afraid to go blue.
No, you're not afraid to go blue ever, and I appreciate that about you. And
I go blue at work.
I wouldn't want you any other way on this podcast.
Huh? Damn right!
Remember when we were going to make this PG?
Oh, fuck, man.
Oh, man. But anyway.
That was a really stupid idea.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one. Anyway, moving along to... What you been playing? You been playing anything? I've actually been playing something, amazingly. I've been playing Race the Sun quite a bit out of your recommendation.
I played work 75 hours this week.
Yeah, yeah. You've
been play like 20 minutes of Majora's Mask before I passed out at night.
Each night or just one?
Just one 20-minute night. I can only muster it like once.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
That's the end of my story.
That's it. Cool. Awesome. I've been playing Race the Sun. That's a fun game. Very challenging,
I love that game!
It is. It's very brainless. I mean, you know, it's just like, it's a Do the one thing that you're supposed to do.
What kind of video card you got on that PC?
I have no idea. You ask me anything about my PC specs, I have no clue. No clue whatsoever.
I want to come over and fuck around with your computer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a new one here pretty soon. Might be a... I was thinking about a Mac, but I kind of have a Mac for my work, so there's no reason I should just get a PC.
No, you should just get it. Nice. Like, you should just do like a $600 or $700 like fucking build and do like one that plays video games. Because the nice part about one that'll play video games is that you know it'll play video games.
Yes,
but it'll also do literally fucking anything else you want it to do.
It's true. It's true.
It's kind of the most strenuous thing you can do with a PC.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No kidding. But yeah, I definitely want to get a new one of those and. But yeah, I like that game. I mean, there's nothing, like, it's a very, It's a very straightforward game.
I love the...
And it's $9.99 on Steam. Go fucking get it. Like, it's
almost like it's in sepia tone, but it's like a grayscale
right.
Visual design to that game. I love the simplicity of it, but I also like that as you grind that game more and more, you get mm-hmm. more inherent abilities for it, so it actually has buttons after a while. It's not just thumbsticks anymore. It's very good. It's the way that that game slowly drips content to you over time.
Yes, I agree.
I think is very ingenious.
Yes, I agree.
I really like Race the Sun.
Yes,
I really like it.
It's a good game. It's a good game.
Is it like Game of the Year kind of stuff? No,
no. But it's
but I like that game.
It's definitely.
Did you pay for it on Steam? $10.
$10. $9.99. Super cheap. Go play the free demo too. Free demo. Go play that, and if you like it, pitch $10 on it. It's a good game.
And it's so non-graphically intensive that it'll run like a billion frames a second.
Yeah. There's nothing to it. It's very basic graphic-wise, so yeah, it'll run on whatever. I also played the free Tembo the Amazing Elephant. What is it? Tembo
the Badass
Elephant. Badass Elephant. That's what it was. I was just shocked that they actually put a bad word in their game. But
yeah, especially for something that's basically Donkey Kong.
Right, And that was a fun game. A little demo. Played the free demo.
I feel like Tembo the Badass Elephant. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here.
Sure.
Yeah, that game is done by Game Freak.
Yes.
The Pokemon people.
The Pokemon.
Not the only time they've ever done a game not for Nintendo systems, but the first one in a very long time. I think the last one was like for the PC Engine TurboGrafx CD.
Sure.
And it was like a fucking pachinko simulator. So it's been a while since I looked it up, but it's been a while.
Sure.
And I feel like that was them being pissed that Retro got the opportunity to make Donkey Kong.
Mmm.
And they said, fuck you, I want to make Donkey Kong. And they went off and made their own fucking Donkey Kong.
Interesting. You mean Rare? Retro? You said Retro?
Retro is the one that made Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii and the Wii U.
Oh, that's right, for the Wii and the Wii U. Okay, I apologize. Yes. I was thinking way back with the Rareware.
Yeah, I don't think they were harboring rage for 20 years.
from the Super Nintendo. I was like, really? They've been that pissed off about
No, because they made a Donkey Kong Country game.
Right, yes.
They didn't make a Donkey Kong game.
Right, that's true.
And this Tembo the Badass Elephant is 100% a Donkey Kong Country game.
Yes.
Which means that I kind of don't like it as much as I wish I could.
Yeah, it's true.
Because it's Donkey Kong Country, and Donkey Kong Country was never a good game.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, like, I've never had a problem with Donkey Kong Country. There's people that do, though, interestingly enough.
A lot of people are wrong.
Well, I meant there's people that do have a problem with it. You're one of them, apparently. What is it about? Well, we'll get into that.
All the cart levels are bad. The mission structure is boring. The graphics are awful.
I don't know. Well,
the pre-rendered sprites on that shit look terrible.
Yeah.
Have you seen it recently?
Yeah.
It looks fuck awful.
Yeah, they're not good.
At the time, I remember being blown away.
Sure.
It was the craziest looking game I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, this is 32-bit graphics on a fucking 16-bit system. Mm. Fuck the 32X. Fuck the Sega CD. I'm throwing my Genesis away. This shit's over. Fuck it. Donkey Kong Country forever. And like 2 hours later, I went, man, this game is terrible. Holy shit.
It was the minecart sections. That's the one.
Oh, God. No, and just the mission structure later on just got really boring.
Yeah.
And the game has three levels.
Yeah, it does.
And it just kind of does those
a lot. It has three basic levels. It's got the regular land level, it's got the cart level, and it's got the water level. That's about it. But anyway.
And then this land level has just a lot of ropes.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. They always pick one of the gimmicks, one of the mechanics. They take the mechanic, and then each consecutive one did the same thing. They just took the one mechanic and then just made a level out of that whole mechanic.
Remember when fucking Donkey Kong Country 3, that Dixie Kong game, came out, and like the fucking PlayStation had been out for a while, and you were like, whoa, you are still making these?
Yeah.
And, oh, shit.
And for fans of that,
I've had my Saturn for like 2 years.
And interestingly enough, the fans for those games say that's the best one. They absolutely adore that one.
And, okay.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
It's whatever. I've never played
I'm not going to say they're wrong, but dude, I'm over here playing Tekken, all right?
Okay. Tembo. It was pretty fun.
It's like people have fond memories of like Kirby's fucking Adventure on the NES or fucking Yoshi or Yoshi's Cookie. It's like, dude, what? What's wrong I have a Kirby? Fucking Genesis and a SNES, bro. Moved the fuck on.
Oh, I see. For that, okay.
So late life.
Yeah, it was very late life, yeah. But Kirby games
were... There are, like, grand exceptions to those kind of things. Like, sure. Yeah, everybody played God of War 2.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was way past the viability of the fucking PS2.
Oh, very much so.
But everybody came back. That's where you, like... fucking dig into your fucking trunk that's like the Ark of the Covenant. Like, I swear to God, there's a fucking memory card in here somewhere.
It's all chewed up from the dog getting it.
No, the dog's already had its face melted. I survived.
Right, yeah.
I looked away and then went back into the trunk.
Went back into the trunk, got the thing out. Anyway.
It smells like dog in here.
So how long before, this is my one question I have to pose about that, how long before there is a Tembo Pokemon? Like, I feel like that's going to happen.
Never.
You don't think so?
That game is not appearing on any Nintendo platform.
Well, it's fine, but like I feel like they'll fit a design into the next route of Pokemon that come out. Like, I think that'll happen, right? Like, one of the evolutions...
Like, Temboa Trunk?
Yeah, exactly. Tim Trunk, Temboa, whatever. I feel like that'll happen. Like, that...
Temboa Trunk sort of sounds like a fucking boa constrictor mixed with, like, a fucking...
Yeah, we should make Pokemon. That's what we should do.
It's like a fucking snake elephant.
No one's thought of doing this before, making their own Pokemon. No, just go... Don't search DeviantArt or anything.
No, because those people are drawing sexy Pokemon.
That's true.
Don't ever search
DeviantArt.
Don't
ever search DeviantArt for
Pokemon. Although, you know what my favorite DeviantArt page is?
What's that?
I have one that I go to.
What's that?
Fucking Clive Barker.
Yeah, Clive Barker, yeah.
He draws, like, a lot of, like, explicitly, like, male homosexual stuff, which is kind of weird.
Okay. No reason you go to that.
No, but, like, his art is just really fucking good.
Well, there are good galleries on there. You just never want to search on there. That's the problem. You just... Like, if someone directs you to a good gallery, check out that gallery. Never search for anything on DeviantArt.
No,
it's terrifying, so...
You don't want to type in, like, blood, tears, dick.
Well, just anything. Like
knife tits.
The first thing, like, any character that you type in is like, well, what's Assassin's Creed's guy? Crap, what is his name?
Ezio.
Type in Ezio. It'll just be all fucking yaoi porn the whole way through.
So. I don't know what that means.
Gay porn. But, you know, anyway, so...
I don't know a lot of things about the internet. I've started to find that out.
Yeah.
I don't know how I've remained with... Relevant. How much I consider myself, like, fucking way into the weird parts of the internet, true. I found out... It gets way weirder, apparently.
It always gets weirder. It always gets way weirder.
Like, I'm just way into videos of, like, you know, like, cats jumping onto people and, you know, well, old people falling over.
Those are always great. Down an escalator. Up an escalator.
That's saw a video of an entire family fighting.
Really?
Just today on YouTube... And there's this fucking part, and I feel really bad about it, but I laughed, and I rewound it like 3 times and kept laughing. This one lady walks over and just, like, fucking straight left jabs this grandmother in the face.
Oh my
and
God.
Drops her like a bad habit.
What the fuck? Why would you? Why?
It was hilarious.
Well, I mean, like, watching it, fine, but, like, why would she do that? Anyway.
This whole family was fighting. I don't know why.
Oh my God. Jesus. That's terrible. Anyway, moving along to our topic of the day, which is Halo 1. Big ol' Halo 1 up on the screen.
Yeah, with how much there is to talk about in Halo 1, I didn't necessarily want to do like a Halo trilogy or anything. Sure. I just feel like there's a little bit too much going on in this specific game.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start with the thing, or do you want to give your initial impressions of it and what you thought at the time?
Initial impressions, I'll go ahead first. That's typically the better way to do it. I enjoyed this game. I didn't flood in on it because I didn't have an Xbox. I got an Xbox, I think the year? No. I think 2 years after it was relevant, I got an Xbox, I believe, for my birthday.
So like 06?
06, I believe I got. Yes, that sounds about right. Yeah, beginning of 06 in February, I got an Xbox.
It's like, well, this Gears of War is really big, so I might as well get that old Halo box.
Yeah. Maybe it was the year after. It might have been 05. It might have been 05, actually. But, yeah.
05's the year that the 360 launched.
year the 360 launched? Yes, because I think it was just before the 360 launched, yes. So I believe it was 05. My birthday in 05 is when I got it. My friends got me that, and they got me two games. They got me Ninja Gaiden, which was fantastic. I played the shit out of that game.
Gaiden or Gaiden Black?
Gaiden, first one. And also Halo. And I played a ton of that as well. I ended up beating it. I don't remember a whole lot about it, but because I was playing it really late at night at that time. I believe I was unemployed at the time.
Playing video games at 2 in the morning. That's not a sign of an unemployed
man. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. So there's a bunch of vague memories of stuff that happened in that game.
Yeah.
But all in all, I thought it was fantastic. I'd always seen it played. Eric loved that game. You know, he played it all the time. So I'd played it before. Never played the single-player campaign. I just thought it was fantastic. The fact, you know, that I love shooters. You know, like, at the time, I thought shooters were pretty awesome. And I'm kind of out of them now. But, yeah, I love that game. I thought it was fantastic. It was, you know, it controlled perfectly. Loved riding on the Warthog. There was, like, nothing more fun than getting on a frickin' Warthog with your buddy and shooting things and, you know, all that jazz. So, didn't play it online, though. That never...
Your playthrough Halo, too?
Never did. Well, I was present when Eric beat it. That's about as much as I played through Halo 2. No, never did play through that one. So, but yeah, that was my first initial impression. I think it's a fantastic game. Best soundtrack, like, ever, I would say, in video games?
I think Halo 3 ODST's soundtrack is probably my personal favorite, just because I love smoky jazz.
Okay, yeah.
That game is like 100% Smokey Jazz, the video game.
100% Smokey Jazz, the video game. Well, you know, Smokey Jazz was...
If I could ever have a box quote...
Yeah.
On a video game...
It would be
on... On ODST, I just want to say 100% Smokey Jazz, the video game.
Hoss.
Video Destruct.
Video Destruct. There you go. Smokey Jazz, the video
game. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. But there you go. Yeah. So, what did you think of Halo, huh?
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
What did you think about your favorite game franchise of all time? As if we have...
I don't know how to say this. All right, so let's just get this out of the way. Starting with the PS2.
Yes.
I have purchased every major video game console on launch day.
Yes.
There was one near exception.
Really?
The Wii U.
The Wii U, okay.
And
yes,
I'll take 35 seconds to tell you how this happened.
Yeah, I remember your turmoil that day, actually.
So, I'd reserved one. I canceled it.
Yeah.
I went to reserve one again. They didn't have any more. So then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
And then launch day rolled around.
Yeah.
And midnight was here. And I called around to some stores. Everybody said, we got people in line. We sold most of them already. We're not going to have any left later. I'm like, cool, I can go to bed, fuck it.
Yeah.
I wake up.
Yeah, okay.
I just, my eyes shoot open at like 4 in the morning. And I'm like, oh God, I missed my chance.
Yeah, no. No.
I'm going to break my streak here. And I just decide that I'm going to call the Bashford Manor Walmart.
Okay.
Because that's a pretty high volume store.
It is.
In a not fantastic area of town.
True.
And whenever I've needed stuff on launch day, whether it be games or whatever, I can usually find them there.
Right.
They have like a walk-in the next day kind of crowd.
Right.
You know, like walk-in at 5 in the afternoon after work to go get your Madden cut. You know, it's a working class neighborhood.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, it's like a Thursday night when this thing comes out or something.
Sure.
So I call and say, hey, you got any left? It's like, dude, we got 5 basics left.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't want any basics. It's like, it's what we got. Said, can I have all 5? I don't want one basic at all.
But I'll take 5
basic.
I'll take 5 basic. That'll...
And bought 5 basic systems.
I remember that.
And sold 4 of them on Craigslist.
Yes.
And paid for my basic system. But all right, so... with the exception of that near miss, since the PS2, I bought everything on launch day.
Sure.
I was fucking pumped for the Xbox.
Yes.
You know why?
Why is that?
I was a huge PC dude in the 90s, and I felt like, you know, with them having Morrowind coming out on the Xbox, with them courting a lot of PC developers, with Halo looking like it was going to be a legitimate first-person shooter experience on a console, I was like, yes, this is what I want. I want one of these things. I gotta get it. Mm-hmm. And it's coming out like 3 days before the GameCube. Fuck it, I'm getting them both. So I went out and I waited in line. This was before the days of pre-orders for systems. I waited at a Walmart and I got one at midnight. Luckily, we had a Super Center, so at midnight they just kind of pushed stuff out the door.
Right.
And I got a copy of Halo. I got a copy of Project Gotham Racing, Oddworld, Munch's Odyssey, and Dead or Alive 3.
Okay.
Basically, the bangers.
Yes.
Like, and not coincidentally, they were all Microsoft, you know, published first-party titles.
Right.
So, yeah, I was stoked, man, because I love Dead or Alive. You know, Project Gotham was a sequel to Metropolis Street Racer.
Yeah.
A really interesting game for the Dreamcast that I think we should actually talk about that series at some point. Metropolis Street Racer was the craziest goddamn game I'd ever seen in my life. It was a game that had cities from all around the world in it.
Yeah.
And it used the internal clock of your Dreamcast to determine what fucking time it was at the track that you raced.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
So, if it's fucking midnight here,
yeah,
it's 9 p.m. in San Francisco, or it's the middle of the goddamn day in Tokyo,
wow,
it was fucking cool.
That's pretty awesome.
For the time, I'd never played anything like it. It was goddamn insane. So, sequel to that game, I'm in.
Right.
Let's do this.
Let's do that.
And it was a game that was all about driving with style, and if you've ever watched me play a driving game, I like driving with flair.
Yes.
It's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
So I was fucking stoked. So I get the Xbox and I bring it home. I got one extra controller with it. Turned out to be a huge disaster. Because all anybody wanted to do was play Halo.
Yes.
So we played that all night until the next day. Yeah. And I went to work with no sleep. And was just dying the whole time. I was like, I have to get home. I have to see more of this game.
I have to see more.
But yeah, the history of Halo, it's kind of well-tread territory, but I'll give, you know, anybody who doesn't necessarily know the lineage here,
sure,
there's quite a bit of history behind Halo. Halo was initially announced at a Mac conference, announced by Steve Jobs.
Oh, yeah.
As an open-world strategy game.
Yeah, that's right.
A big, huge strategy epic.
Are you doing the thing now?
I'm doing the thing.
Then do the thing, yeah.
Yeah, this is officially the section of the show we call The Thing.
The Thing.
So it's unveiled by Steve Jobs. It's, you know, this is during his big return. This is where they come out with the One Piece Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, this that's is right. During that
oh my,
era.
Oh my God.
This is like just pre-iPod.
Woo!
This is that. This is what was about to make them huge.
Right.
So they announce Halo. The game kind of languishes for a bit. Strategy game. It ends up getting flipped to a shooter later on, and it kind of sits around a development hell. At this time, Bungie is not just working on this game. They are publishing games for multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Rockstar Games published a Bungie game, and it's called Oni, and it's for the PS2.
Yes, I remember that.
Not a lot of people remember that.
Yep, I do remember.
Before Oni. This, they made the Myth strategy games, if you remember those.
Okay.
Those were big on the Mac. They were also available on PC. There was Myth and Myth 2. They were both very popular in their own right. There were no StarCraft by any stretch of the imagination, but they were quite popular. That's why Halo started off as a strategy game, because they really had strategy chops.
Mm-hmm.
But they had also made first-person shooters.
Right.
The Marathon series.
Right.
Which has very, very heavy influences into Halo design, Halo fiction, Halo lore, is all very inspired by Marathon and Durandal and those games that they had made that were first-person shooters that were very popular for the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So, during the development of Halo as a strategy game and during the transition of it being a shooter, they get purchased by Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're making a Windows game.
Yeah.
So this game is just development is going on and on. I mean, this is, you're talking 4 to 5 years development time for this game by the time it actually came out.
Yeah.
And in those days, that was not 5 year development time years. You know,
sure.
This was 5 years to develop a game for then, you know, for that time period is just forever.
Yeah.
And they just kept changing platform. It just sounds like a recipe for fucking disaster.
Right.
And then Microsoft made one more pivot. They said, we're moving this game to our new platform. It's called the Xbox. You're developing a console shooter now. And
so, by the way,
the transition there was very... It was as easy as it could have been for them because of one thing.
Why is that?
The original Xbox is built with off-the-shelf PC parts.
Okay.
It's the reason why it was so expensive. It's the reason why it was so easy to program for. It's the reason why so many games could take so much advantage out of it, because it was hardware that was very well-tread, as opposed to something like the Emotion Engine technology and their graphics processor that was inside of the PlayStation 2, which was incredibly, incredibly, notoriously difficult to program for and hard to unravel. I mean, it was actually Sony's approach that we'll make something that's very hard to program for, so that as time goes on, people will pull more power out of this, so the games continually look better. Mm. So you don't end up with this slump period of, well, now they all look the same. It's kind of the thing that if the Dreamcast had much more of a life, you would have found out, is that that thing was so fucking easy to program for, because it ran on Windows CE tech on the back end, that it was so easy to pull so much power out of it, that everybody got pretty much everything that thing had real quick. And plus, Sega had all that Naomi 2 arcade board technology that was designed in the same architecture that system ran on, so there was it was already just incredibly well-tread mud before anybody got there. But that's kind of a digression. But so Bungie had a fairly easy transition to make. It ran on an NVIDIA 64 megabyte video card. And it ran on an Intel 3 733 megahertz processor. Now, to put that in terms that make a lot of sense, the central processing unit that was in the GameCube was about 233 megahertz. The Emotion Engine that was in the PlayStation 2 that was going to give you Toy Story quality graphics, 333 megahertz.
Right, okay.
You know, this system had twice the RAM of the PS2 and faster RAM.
Right.
This thing was just, it was a, and you can look at it and tell, it was a beast.
Yeah.
And they built it as such. It was a hideous box, whatever.
Yeah, it's a giant brick.
So, Microsoft is, you know, in full swing for this thing. So, the transition to the Xbox platform, originally, the Xbox was going to launch with Xbox Live.
Right.
That service would not launch until a year later.
Okay.
So, online play was pulled from Halo Combat Evolved.
Right.
On the original Xbox. So, they had to go with four-player split-screen. But because they'd already started building some of the tech to do the online, they were able to do the network play, which gave you the 16-player multiplayer, which made that game legendary. LAN parties for Halo. That's the last time I ever heard anybody talk about LAN parties.
Yes.
Was Halo. And it was not out of the ordinary in my college dorm for four people to drag fucking four CRT televisions and four Xboxes and 16 controllers into one room and then just sweat for a while.
just kind of keep... Just
once you find your spirit animal, you can leave.
Just stew in this room.
You got fucking 16 dudes in a 10x10 concrete box. Just fucking dick sweat. Just the whole time.
Just creaming around.
Just, everybody's gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the
swamp ass a galore.
And the game officially unveils for the Xbox at E3 in 2001. The game shows incredibly well. They show a lot of things that have never been done in shooters before. Not only for console shooters, but things that have never been done before. This is where you get the modern day shield system.
Okay,
this game invented that.
Yeah.
This is where you get your first glimpse of something like...
Oh, power armor. Yes, I get it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. My bad. For some reason, completely blank. Shield? I was
Your character having a shield.
Yes, yes. Regenerative shield.
Yes, you're basically hide behind a rock for a little bit.
Right.
This game still had health. They don't get rid of health until Halo 2, and it does come back for a bit in ODST, but for the and Reach, but for the most part, health is... really a Halo 1 thing.
Right.
And the only reason they ever brought it back in other games is because, well, in the timeline, or because these dudes, who these guys are, they need to have health packs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, rechargeable shields becomes a big, big deal here. Like, a significant portion of your overall health is the shield.
Yeah.
Your health is just there just to, in case. Because, like, two or three shots, dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they unveiled, you know, you get visor vision here. They have kind of that curved HUD to give you the illusion that you're looking through the visor of this super soldier.
Yeah.
This game also introduced vehicles. And this game had four pilotable vehicles.
Yes.
There was the Warthog. There was the Ghost. there was the tank, and there was the Banshee, which was the Covenant plane.
Yep.
And I guess we'll talk about the story here in a little bit. Yeah. But let's get through the tech stuff first. Yep, absolutely. Because this is I don't know if you know this about me. I like tech.
You like tech. in case you weren't listening for the past 10 minutes.
Yeah, I get a little bit specific about tech. I like this kind of stuff.
Which is great.
But this engine, the only Halo game that runs on this engine.
Really?
There's only one other game I can think of that runs on this engine.
Really? What is this engine?
This is the Halo engine.
Oh, it's the Halo engine. Okay, yeah.
They built it for this.
Yeah.
And there's only one other game I can think of that runs on it. What's Stubbs that? The Zombie. Because the guy who owned the rights to the engine left Bungie after this.
Wow.
So another one of the reasons Halo 2 was such a disaster to make was that they had to build everything all over again.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a little Halo 2 stuff for you, but Stubbs the Zombie, check it out.
Right.
But yeah, so they're getting ready to release the game. It's got vehicles in it. It's never been done before in a shooter. Mm-hmm. There are team-up vehicles. You can have multiple people on a tank. You can have multiple guys in a Warthog. This game has two-player co-op in it.
Right.
It allows two people in split screen or via network play to play through the entire campaign together.
Right.
This is not a special mode. This is not anything else. This is 100% together.
Right.
Groundbreaking. Defined the Xbox.
Wow.
And the reason that it defined the Xbox is because that thing had so much fucking power in it compared to everybody else. Nobody had the power to support it in most games.
Wow.
Graphically intensive games on the PlayStation 2 had barely enough power to do that, or were barely well harnessed enough to do that. And when you start saying that we're going to double this,
yeah,
it becomes a much harder technical feat. And there was just so much power laying around for the Xbox that it was very easy for the easy in quotes,
right,
for them to do this. So a lot of games have co-op. There's a lot of two and a lot of four-player co-op games on the original Xbox. It was synonymous with that system of, oh, you want to play with your friends? Get an Xbox.
Yeah.
You want to play alone? Get a PlayStation.
Hmm.
Like, I bought almost all my single-player games on the PlayStation because I still had an attachment to that controller, but all my multiplayer stuff I bought on the Xbox because I knew it would look better, I knew it would run better, it'd support more people, network play, the online play would be better. There'd be fucking voice support. Like, right. The fucking online play on the PS2 was a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
It's a steaming pile.
Even today, I remember the horror stories of that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, the one good experience I ever had with the fucking PS2 online, I think I've talked about it on this podcast before, Tony Hawk 3. You know why? Because that game was fucking dope.
Yeah, Tony Hawk 3 was.
Tony Hawk 3, best Tony Hawk game.
That's a good game.
I don't give a shit what anybody says.
That's a good Tony Hawk game. I agree. That was the one where it kind of... That one kind of jumped through the uncanny valley or something. Like, it felt like this was like, oh, this seems realish.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, it felt
more
real. And
it was fast.
Yeah.
That's where they introduced the revert. So now, like, in 2, they introduced the manual. 3, they introduced the revert. 4 is just an improvement of 3. There's nothing wrong with 4. I don't feel like the levels are quite as inspired as 3, but 4 is still a fantastic game. Thug is where they introduce, like, the story mode and getting off your board and all that other stuff.
Right.
Thug is where they get away from, all right, 2 minutes, go.
Yeah.
That's where the formula really started to change. But right. We should do a Tony Hawk cast.
We should do a Tony Hawk cast. I think so, too.
And I will tell you how Tony Hawk 2 might be one of the greatest games of all time, and Tony Hawk 3 is better.
There you go.
But, yeah, this game contained co-op play.
Yes.
Big boon for this.
Big.
It was for this game to be a launch title.
Yeah.
To come out at the beginning of a system's lifespan, have 16-player multiplayer that had never been done on consoles before as an option.
Yeah.
For it to have 2-player co-op.
Yeah.
For it to have a very full multiplayer suite. Mm-hmm. I believe the game shipped with 12 maps.
Yeah.
Many of them have appeared in other games in the series. And not because, well, whatever, we already have assets laying around. No, they're beloved.
Yeah, they're beloved.
They're beloved because I know myself, I played thousands of matches of Halo 1.
Right.
I was known as the frag grenade guy in my dorm. People would come to my dorm to learn how to throw frag grenades.
Just to learn how to throw that?
Because,
stick 'em.
frags were the bouncing
ones. Oh, I apologize. Yeah,
yeah, okay. The plasma grenades are the ones that actually stick to people.
That's right.
I never used plasma grenades because I thought they were sloppy.
Right.
So what I would do is I would bounce grenades off the ground so that it would start the instant timer.
Interesting.
To get them to bounce into somebody and hit them in the chest and explode on impact.
Wow.
So that explodes there, one bullet, dead. Speaking of one bullet.
Yeah.
Pistol.
Yeah.
Greatest pistol in a video game ever.
That one there, the Halo
pistol? Synonymous. The Magnum from Halo 1 is, and it was so quote-unquote unbalanced that they never had a pistol that powerful in a Halo game again.
Mm.
It was the only weapon anybody ever used.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody ever used anything else other than maybe a sniper rifle occasionally on Blood Gulch.
Sure.
Or if you were playing a very small map, somebody may grab a shotgun.
Right.
But other than that, you're pistoling somebody in the fucking face. Huh. You saw somebody with an assault rifle? Oh, I'm coming for you. You're such a fucking noob. Dude, you're going to get...
noob.
You're going to get fucking shit housed. You are about to get fucking rocked.
That's fabulous.
But yeah, so from a technology standpoint, like, that game just had so much depth to the way that it worked. You know, the idea that you could get frag grenades down to a science,
mm-hmm.
the fact that it used its physics engine so specifically and so reliably made that game a technical marvel for the time. Yeah. I remember the first time I landed on Halo.
Yeah.
That initial mission after you jettison from the Pillar of Autumn, mm-hmm. you land on the surface. I walked outside and I looked around and you're in this big wide open cavernous valley.
Yeah.
And I looked down at the ground and looked at the texture that they had used for grass and went, man, fucking video games are cool. Because that ship level on the Pillar of Autumn, it looked great. It right. did.
Yeah.
You know, it used good lighting and stuff like that. But until you're outside in a Halo game, you ain't seen shit.
Yeah. Yeah. When you see that, when you see the Halo ring into the go off into the horizon.
And I was actually just about to talk about that. Yeah. The idea that no matter where you are, as long as you're outside, you see the Halo ring in the skybox.
Yeah.
Nobody does skyboxes like a Halo game.
Yeah.
Even today, Halo 4 has one of the best skyboxes I've ever seen. When you first land on the surface of the planet, and you walk outside, there's all those huge machines that are, like, doing that ground pounder movement in the distance. You're like, this is fucking weird.
Would you say, well, obviously, would you say Destiny? I mean, that has beautiful skyboxes.
Bungie still does the best skyboxes in the game.
Yeah, it's Bungie.
I don't think, like, they were as inspired. Like, with the exception of the Russian area where there are, like, those weird fucking old-school-looking spaceships mounted onto those huge fucking jet propulsion things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, outside of that, I didn't feel like a lot of the skyboxes in that game were that fantastic. But then again, I didn't spend that much time with that game to truly grow an appreciation of, it's like a hug from an old friend.
Right, yeah.
but, you know, I digress there. Let's talk about the story.
Yes, let's talk about the story.
You are a man called the Master Chief.
Yes, you are.
John 117.
Which was not revealed till forever ago, was it?
Wait, what?
Oh, was that right at the beginning? Or was he revealed?
Well,
or was that?
There were books that came out around the launch of the game.
Okay, that's right.
They give you a lot of depth.
They give you that.
But
okay.
As far as what's contained in the game, you don't even know that your name is John until a significant portion through this game.
Yeah.
You are the Master Chief.
Right.
You are a legendary soldier.
Right.
You are in cryostasis at the beginning of this game.
Yeah.
Your ship becomes under attack from the Covenant, who are basically, as your escape pods are leaving, they are attaching their pods to the side of the ship and dumping Covenant into it to blow this thing the fuck up.
Yep.
And they are attacking you. You see a Halo ring in the distance, and your Captain Keyes, the captain of the Pillar of Autumn, he is going to crash land this fucking thing on the planet.
Yeah.
And he is instructing everybody, you as the Master Chief, to go get as many survivors as you can and flee, jettison an escape pod to go land on the surface safely, and then you will rendezvous once you get there.
Right.
So your mission, once you are jettisoned off this ship, is to land on the surface. You are the only one who makes it out in your escape pod alive. One of the deflector rudders busts on the way down, and the Master Chief, being in power armor, can land on the surface of a planet from fucking space.
Right.
And he's fine. Everybody else, totally dead.
Right.
But luckily, they dropped tons of ammo. You're going to need that, because as soon as you walk out, there are Covenant ships everywhere, and you are about to get fucked.
Yeah.
So you run up this canyon, shoot some Covenant, more elites, grunts. Elites are very large men. They kind of look like insectoid bipod monsters, but they stand in a humanoid stance, and they have a split lower jaw. Very cool.
Yep.
There are also grunts. That's all that you see for the large part of this game. You are also introduced later on the dudes who have shields.
Yeah. The brutes?
No, the brutes aren't until Halo 2.
That's Halo 2.
And then there are hunters later on, which are very large men with shielded bodies that you have to hit in the back that have these big blaster cannons.
Right.
That's really all that you're going to fight in this game.
Right.
There are mounted turrets and, characters, like enemies that'll be in vehicles and things like that to mix up the encounters. But for the large part, that's all you're fighting in this game.
Right.
It's a launch game, everybody. Shit happens.
Yeah.
and for that time, they varied up the encounters enough that that game felt unlike any other. So,
yes.
Even through rose-colored glasses, if you go up and pick up the Anniversary Collection or the Halo Master Chief Collection, I feel like a lot of the combat scenarios in that game still hold up despite the fact that it's not full of a ton of variety.
Yeah.
Games like Halo 2 and Halo 3, they added in, the flying enemies and all these other things to, the brutes and different styles of brutes and brute chieftains and different levels and all these other things that will give a little bit more variety to a combat scenario.
Yeah.
What they typically call the combat puzzle.
Right.
A lot of the developers of Halo refer to combat scenarios in that game as a combat puzzle.
Right.
In the sense that, all right, how can I solve this effectively with exposing myself the least?
That makes sense.
Yeah. The right answer in a Halo conflict of more than three enemies is never to walk into that room.
Yeah.
It's never the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Never. You can come out alive,
but
that's never the correct answer.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So you land on this planet, you walk up through this valley, you find some survivors from another escape pod. You help defend that, and the cool thing about this is that you may save these people, and they may thank you before the dropship comes to pick them up, or they may all die.
Yeah.
And the dropship just shows up and drops off a warthog and says, later.
Wow.
And the warthog, your first opportunity to get in a vehicle, that gives you a nice tutorial into the crazy way that game drives.
Yeah.
The left stick, you push forward for the gas, down for the brake. So think of it like an accelerator pedal, or think of it like a fucking plane, the throttle. Or you're driving a boat.
Right.
And the way that this thing drives kind of feels like you're driving a boat.
Yeah. It'll swing around. It's
So the right stick is what you use to steer, and it's the car steers with four wheels. Mm-hmm. The front and the rear wheels turn. So this thing cuts a strange radius, and it's very swingy in the back end. It's very loose in the rear end. It's almost like you are Tokyo drifting.
You're Tokyo the whole time. Drifting.
You spend a good portion of the game from here going in to other crash pod sites.
Right.
They have all sent up flares, and you have to go throughout this. What's a big open world, especially for this time, to go to all these survivor sites to help hopefully liberate these people while you're driving around this dope-ass truck?
Right on.
So you go pick up these survivors, and then later on you end up, and I won't talk every bit of the story, but the game actually kind of jumps around a lot. You end up, there's a level that's in a Covenant ship.
Yeah.
There's quite a few things that you do in this game, and it all culminates in the final level of this game.
Yeah.
The final action that you take in this game is kind of like the first time, in an evocative sense, it's like when the end of Resident Evil happens and all the red lights start going off and you know that, and the timer starts clicking down and you know that the mansion is about to explode.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to fight the nemesis. Well, the Tyrant.
Tyrant. Yeah.
And it's the tensest I've ever been in a video game in my life.
Right.
This game is you. This facility is about to explode.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to drive away from this facility to a ship to get off the surface of the planet, or you will die.
Yeah, this is happening right now, folks.
And as we said earlier, this game has the best music in the fucking world, and it is blaring the combat theme.
Yes.
And you are just fucking trucking the whole... It's one of the greatest things that ever happened in a video game in my life.
It's pretty epic.
I don't have anything else to say. Halo Combat Evolved. Fucking play it.
Go play that.
Holy shit.
Go play that. Yeah.
I want to play some Halo.
Halo Combat Evolved.
I think I'm going to play some Halo.
You want to play some Halo after this? Just crank up number one?
Yeah.
The new HD number one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play some Halo.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Do you have any questions about Halo?
I don't.
Do you have anything else to say about Halo?
I do. The cultural relevance of this game was pretty high, too. Not just, like...
Yeah, it's the only M-rated video game I've ever seen that, like, church groups would play to appeal to kids.
Yeah.
It's the least violent M-rated game in the world.
Because it's all aliens.
You know, the weird thing about this game...
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, like, Halo games...
You know it's weird when Haas's pitch goes up about 9 octaves.
Well, Halo games are always rated M. Right. They always have been.
Yeah.
I understand there's blood, but it's all purple.
Yeah, it's all purple blood.
Except for the multiplayer, there's red blood off the dudes.
Sure.
Just give me a sec.
Yeah.
So, the games are all rated M.
Yeah.
Have you ever played an Uncharted game?
Yeah.
Nathan Drake says shit a lot in that game.
A lot in that game.
And he's shooting men in the face... that game.
There was a cultural shift at some point in media, because around 99, when South Park Bigger Longer Uncut came out, was that around 99? It was way more horrible to have your characters have a character in a movie or a game say a bad word than to have deplorable violence. And then that shifted. And then 24 came out, where you could stab dudes in the neck and show every fucking, you know, like, muscle being cut by that knife.
Remember in season 5 when he bit that dude's throat out?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do remember
fucked
that.
Up.
Season 5 sucked, but man, that was good.
The opening of that season was pretty good.
The opening was fantastic. It all was crap after that opening. But anyway, that's the one where the nuke went off, right? Yeah, yeah, see, like, a nuke went off in the U.S., and, like, no one fucking mentioned it for, like, the rest of the day, just about. But anyway, I digress.
They were busy!
They were busy doing stuff. I just, you know, there's so much cultural relevance to this game because, you know, frickin' Red vs. Blue came out. An entire
Machinima as a whole.
Machinima as a whole was created.
I kind of wish it hadn't been.
I like Red vs. Blue.
Love Red vs. Blue.
Yeah,
but I hate all other Machinima.
Sure. There's a lot of other bad ones out there, and no doubt about it. Yeah, Rooster Teeth and Achievement Hunters. That all came from Halo.
I think I watched through like season 13 of Red vs. Blue. I watched a lot of Red vs. Blue.
It's still going, isn't it? I think Rooster Teeth is still doing it. Yeah,
it's still going.
Yeah, but Rooster Teeth, that entire company was bred off of Halo, like, period. Now all they do is play GTA 5, but, like, that's, why not? But that whole company was bred off just making comedy from the engine of that game. And, like, so much culture. This is the first game where I remember everybody talking about that game. It's the reason people talked about the Xbox in general. I never, you know, because I heard the Xbox coming out, everybody's like, oh, Microsoft made a game console. That's pretty crazy, right? Yeah. Halo comes out, everybody's fucking talking about the Xbox and how this game is one of the best games ever fucking made.
Halo 2 was the first blockbuster moment for video games.
Yes.
And it's all because of this. Yeah. I mean, like, Microsoft wouldn't be in the console race today if it wasn't for Halo.
Yeah.
I mean, I hardly think that Project Gotham... And Azeric and
you know,
Nightcaster.
I mean, it might have been around, but it
definitely... Brute Force. Yeah, I want to be the Alligator Man.
The Alligator Man from Brute Force. Now, I think, you know, like, there's no telling what would have filled the Halo spot, but Xbox would not
be... They wouldn't be here at all.
Yeah, I don't think they would be here. If they were, they wouldn't be what they are.
Because the justification for the Xbox at the time was, we're willing to, you know, lose a couple billion dollars on this thing. Why? Because if we didn't make the Xbox, right. the fucking antitrust lawsuit
That's right.
that we had lost yeah. said we were going to lose billions, so we'll lose a couple billion, and who knows, maybe it'll be a nice little fucking cottage industry for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was a better option mm-hmm. than a monopoly suit, an antitrust suit that they had lost.
Right, yeah.
So this was their penance. This was the way that they got out of litigation
right.
for that monopoly yeah. suit.
Yeah, see, it just...
That's weird.
That is weird. There you go. See? Cultural relevance here. It's fantastic. And yeah, like you said, because of this game, Halo 2's trailer was the first, and you don't get a fucking game without this now.
You know I was there when they showed it?
Yeah, you were there, weren't you?
Gen Con.
You were at Gen Con when they did that.
The yeah. only reason I would ever go to a Gen Con was that I heard, did you hear Halo's gonna be there?
What? What? Let's go. Anyway. That's the first cinematic trailer for a video game, period. Cinematically done type trailer where it's got the music, and it's like a movie trailer, and everybody's hyped about it.
I'm giving the Covenant their bomb back.
That's the first time that happened, and now you don't get games without that now. That is everywhere. So
what's sad is that games yeah. look so good now
yeah.
that I kind of wish they only used in-game graphics.
Oh, sure.
Because, with all due respect, I thought the fucking... The Halo 2 fucking Weta Workshop or whoever the fuck it was that did the stuff for Halo 2 Anniversary.
Sure.
I thought that stuff looked incredible. You've seen some of that stuff, right?
Yes.
It looks outstanding.
Yeah.
But you know what? Most modern video games look almost that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And true. The thing is, between cinematics and standard gameplay,
mm-hmm.
I notice a difference in transition. But if yeah. you run it all in-engine, it feels like a seamless experience.
It does. It does. It runs...
But who am I?
Yeah, but who are you to say? And... What if Mirror's Edge had in-game cinema? That'd have been nice, right?
That'd have been way better.
In-game cinema didn't look bad in that game. I don't know why they didn't just do that.
No, I don't know why they had these people fucking yeah. talk at each other a little bit more.
Anyway, but yeah, I think this game is fabulous. I think it's a well-made game. It is technologically, you know, for its time, was well above what was out there. I think... it has a storied history of almost not being made, you know, and almost not shipping, et cetera, et cetera. And the cultural relevance of this thing. This is the reason... I would say not only that this is the reason Xbox is around, this is the reason the games, video games in general, are a multi-billion dollar industry, I would say. This became what culture... This was gaming culture then. It was the first start of that whole culture, I believe.
Well, and it galvanized...
It took the PC crowd that was all this elite, you know, like this the PC elite that didn't want to mingle with the... And everything just started to mix. Consoles became more like PCs, PCs became more like consoles. It just all kind of started mixing together, and now it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
The one thing I'll really give it is that it galvanized an image for the Xbox that they have since chosen to outgrow,
mm-hmm.
which they needed to.
Sure.
But... This to, became yeah. known as the system for dudes who like games.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the bro system.
It's the Mountain Dew Dorito system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what that did was that built a fan base, and then when the 360 came out, they were like, hey, we're still for you,
yeah.
but we're also this.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to build... You have to serve one god
yeah.
before you can serve many.
That's true.
And true. They chose... A generation, a demographic, an 18 to 34 year old male who has money demographic. And they went out and found the best people in the world to make them a flagship franchise.
Yep.
And that's what Halo is.
Yep.
And go play it.
Go play that game. Yeah, if you haven't played that game, really, I mean, it's just... actually, if you haven't played it, you probably don't have any interest in it. But seriously, it has such a... It's a profound history in video games, period. Kind of shocked it took us this long to do this one, because, Microsoft fanboy over here. But whatever, you know, it's fine. It's okay to be a fanboy. It's all right. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for this episode. I think we rambled on about this game quite a bit. I think this was a good one, Hoss. I think that's in the can. What do you want to talk about next week? We want to say what we want to talk about next week?
We won't do it.
Yeah, we won't. We're gonna say what's that one that we keep saying? Damn it! Fuck.
Binary Domain?
Binary Domain? We want to do Binary Domain?
I'm talking about Binary Domain.
Okay, we'll talk about Binary Domain. We won't. We won't do that. It'll never happen. I'm going to leave that Binary Domain picture up on our Facebook until we actually talk about it.
We need to go behind the scenes here for a little bit.
Do we? All right, let's go behind the scenes.
Well, yeah.
Willow's right here on me.
We need to... Yeah, she got perked up when I said behind the scenes.
She did.
Like,
she was like...
Does that mean pets?
You going to talk about me? Is that what's going
to
happen?
Before we go to that show on Saturday, we should record that podcast because Sunday I have a concert that I'm going to. And,
okay.
I don't know if we'll have any other time
okay.
to get one done for next week.
Cool.
So that we don't have to record this the day that it's supposed to be out again.
Well, we're going to a wrestling show. Maybe we'll record a Schmozcast while we're there. Who knows? That might happen.
Bring the laptop.
I'll bring the laptop and a mic and... We will see what happens.
We'll talk to the boys.
We'll talk to the boys in the back. Talk to them about the road. And
fucking money in the boot.
Talk to some good brothers about their good time.
Fucking brother it up.
So yeah, sorry this one's out late. We've been busy for all week, both of us, with work and whatnot. But also why the video content has gone down a little bit. Not to worry.
It's coming back.
It's coming back up.
I swear to God.
But we're still weekly content. We're still good. And next week, we will have this episode up on Tuesday again as well. So
yeah.
This one's back on Thursday. All that jazz.
See you next week!
See you next week, guys! Bye!